With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
That's right. Survivor Know-It-Alls are back after a big two-hour Survivor Merge episode. I love this episode. I'm so excited to talk about it. Here we are coming in right after this big meal. Steven, consider us the Applebee's brownie to the quesadilla burger you just finished.
Well, I know that Applebee's is a variable, so I guess you can vary, you know, I guess, I don't know. That was very metaphor consultant of you, Rob. That's, you know.
Yes, not a sponsor, job. Not a sponsor.
Yeah.
But we're listening. We're listening, Applebee's.
I actually tuned most of that whole thing out.
Yes. Steven Fishback would not be caught dead in an Applebee's, right?
That's not true. That's not true. I love Applebee's. I do love that. Their burgers are very good.
Steven, how are you? How are you?
Good. How are you? What a fun episode. I mean, really, you know, as enraging as the time machine twist is, this was less enraging, you know,
right.
Maybe because
Steven,
the contestants figured it out.
Maybe because we're figuring it out, or like many things in our world, we're the frog in the pot of boiling water. It's like gotten hotter and hotter. We're not jumping out. We're used to this. It's the merge.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's ultimately it. And, you know, it's like, it's better. It's better than it was last season. You know, it's still bad to have that time twist, but like, let's not focus on the bad. It was a super fun episode.
I loved it.
Of really good strategy.
Yeah.
A lot of shifting alliances, you know, a lot of hustle, some bustle.
And I really think the thing that they did the best here was they gave us 2 hours here for one vote at the merge, which I really feel like that they should do they don't need to bring the hourglass every season, but I thought that this was great. We saw so many conversations. Usually at the merge, we're like, oh, like what's going on? And believe me, we're still that a little bit. But we saw that there were so many different conversations and so many different strategic partnerships that could be potentially happening, even if they didn't come together for this vote, that I think it's going to be a very fun back half of the season. So we will talk about all of that here today as we'll break down what happened. Yes.
No. I was just going to agree. I mean, you know, normally on Survivor, they like yada, yada, those strategic conversations, which are like the heart of what the actual game of Survivor is. It's like building these personal bonds that also will have strategic ramifications. And we saw a lot of like real personal human moments that are also the crucial building blocks of this strategic game. And it was awesome. It was great. I agree. I loved that. And you know, it was such a fun mix of like total strategy geeking out and like really emotional you know, personal moments.
Great awesome. Character moments, a lot of life around camp in this episode. So really, really great stuff that I feel like many Survivor fans have been asking for. So we get it here in this Merge episode. We will have so much for you here in the next couple of days here on Rob is a Podcast. First, we will have our exit interview with the queen of Survivor Twitter, Lydia Chlamydia. That's what she goes by on Twitter, that she will join us for Survivor exit interview coming up on Thursday. You are not going to want to miss that. And then, Stephen, we have such a great week to have our friend Christian Hubicki here with us.
Oh, wow.
To
break this is down. The week for it.
If anybody can make sense of all this, it is going to be Christian Hubicki. We will have him. And then we had to bring in somebody from Survivor 41 to get their take on it. Tiffany Seely will join us on the feedback show this week. And then Gia Worthy joins us on Survivor Academy, taking a look at what the future players could learn from this week's episode. So lots of great stuff.
Can you ask Lydia if she heard them cheering as she was walking down the loser trail? Like, that was like, they were like, this poor woman has just been voted out of Survivor right before the Merge. You know, she thought she made the Merge. Now she hasn't. Thought she made the jury. Now she hasn't. And as she walks away in this like low moment, everybody else is cheering behind her. Could she hear? And what was she feeling when she heard? That's all I want to know.
I'll add it to the list. I'll add it to the list.
Is that I'm not going to ask? Is that no?
Sometimes, you know, the exit interview, there's a lot of variance, and it's sometimes we cover a lot of ground. People give short answers and we can get to a lot of stuff, and other times people have more detailed answers and we only get to a couple of things in 15 minutes. But
that's the thing I'm most interested in.
Okay. We will get to that. Stephen, what's the most interesting thing that you want to talk about to open this discussion tonight?
Why did Mike vote? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Why did Roxroy vote for Lindsay? No, there's a lot of really interesting things that happened. I mean, obviously, I think the most interesting or like the most emblematic of the shifts of this episode was Hai's vote for Lydia.
So interesting.
Yeah, because, you know, this has been like Hai's arc, right? I will not vote for Lydia. I'm going to rocks for Lydia. You know, Lydia and I are a pair. And the decision to vote for her, you know, was very much a shift in, obviously, in his strategy. You know, I think it really showed the way people are angling for their position in the Merge. You know, there's this big alliance, like this like group of eight that they kept talking about. And also it's, you know, this sort of dueling strategists between Omer and Hai was very interesting. And, you know, it's interesting too to just like look at the chaos of that. Are we jumping in? Because I'm jumping in.
You're in. We're talking about it.
Okay. I just, you know, if there's any other podcasts we need to talk about upcoming, you know, I don't want to miss.
Just make sure you're subscribed. You'll get them all. robinswebsite.com/subscribe. So, but there's so many different facets since I want to make sure we're taking them just one thing at a time. Yeah. Did you think that this was the right call for Hai to vote out Lydia in this spot?
Well, so, you know, first of all, I want to say, like, you know, the question of, like, why did Hai vote out Lydia in this spot? You know, we do see Hai voting with this group of eight, right? And that group of eight is largely the big people. It's largely the more athletic people, which he you know, said he wanted to be a part of. It's also the group with all of the firepower, right? Like, all of the extra votes, all of the advantages, all of the idols are in that group of eight.
Yeah. It's a very good observation where, you know, that this is, I think, probably not what the Survivor producers had in mind, where the players in the majority with all the advantages, this is like very like Big Brother and like part of like, and I, you know, had observed that, you know, what, 8-person alliance, what is it? Are we in Big Brother? But this is actually a very big problem in modern day Big Brother that, you know, the players that can win challenges, that can get all of like the advantages, end up working together to really like gang up on the people in the minority, which can be very not fun to watch. Even though I have been very much enjoying Survivor 42, it could be on a trajectory where we end up seeing a little bit of a steamroll here.
Well, and I actually thought that's, I know like nobody, you know, nobody's rooting for Tory here, but I was very kind of happy when Tory won that immunity challenge because it complicated things too. So much.
I was
it
made too.
It much more fun.
Yeah. It was, yeah, it was an open and shut case if Tory went home. And I like having the person who is, you know, somebody who is there and to be an agitator there yeah. in the game. So I think that that is fun to have her around for at least another week.
Yeah. But, you know, I ultimately think you, if you look at the votes, right, you see that, that, you know, there were, let's see, six votes for Lydia, right? Hi and Mike vote for Lydia. Mm-hmm. Jonathan, Lindsay, Marianne vote for Lydia. Andrea votes for Lydia. There were five votes for other people.
Yeah.
All from, Marianne, I'm sorry. Yeah. Marianne gets votes. Jonathan gets votes and Lindsay gets votes. So, Romeo and Lydia vote for Marianne.
Correct.
Chanel and Tori vote for Jonathan and Roxroy votes for Lindsay. Now, just looking at these numbers by themselves, it looks like High, if he had had like perfect, you know, eagle-eyed observation and endless time, could have rearranged something to save Lydia. But my guess is what happened here was there was just too much chaos. Like too much was moving too quickly. You know, you have 12 people running around. Everyone's got a different plan, and that group of eight came together at, you know, maybe at the very last minute, and Lydia was maybe the last plan, you know, and it doesn't always matter who makes the best plan. The most important thing is often who makes the last plan, you know, that's often the thing that gets accomplished. And I think that Omar really excelled here partially because of his timing, because he was waiting to the very end. And then he came out with, let's vote out Lydia, this dark horse candidate.
Yeah.
Does it help High? Maybe.
Perhaps. I think Omer has to get the fishy tonight. Any debate there?
Especially
in an episode where he did not have a vote. He controlled this thing when, and we talked about this just a couple of weeks ago, where you had that first Vati tribal council of, if you don't have a vote, do you have agency? Do you have a say? Certainly in Omer's case here today, that was definitely the case. But for Omer, I was okay, watching along. Okay, so Omer, the vote is going to Marianne. Uh-oh, okay. Marianne is going home. Omer's going to switch it to Lydia, okay? Omer goes to High and Mike and says, we have to vote out Lydia here, who is in the eight. Well, you know, they talked about the eight. She's one of the eight.
But she was going to turn on the eight, right? Like, and that was his argument. It's like, she's willing to turn on the eight. So, mm-hmm. you know, what's left? What's left in this world? Well, how can we have trust if the eight are in jeopardy?
Yeah.
Because like basically everyone up to this point had talked about, you know, who like High had certainly talked about voting out Jonathan. You know, this was not the first transgression.
And so to me, I thought that first of all, I was like, Omer, what do you do? This is not a good idea. Do not go to High and Mike and say you're going to vote out Lydia. But sure enough, that I was so surprised when I saw the votes that High did it. I saw that there were six votes for six votes for Lydia there. I'm like, oh my God, did Marianne play her second vote? How did they get to six? And no, Marianne did not play her second vote. And High and Mike went along with it. And I think it all goes back to Jonathan, where both Mike and High made, you know, bonds with Jonathan. And you saw High say earlier in the episode that I want to keep Jonathan around, that I feel like that Jonathan is going to be a shield for me. And I'm wondering if what Marianne said might have been on High's mind. A problem later is a future shield.
And the interesting thing too is like Lydia makes a bigger target for High, right? I mean, as great as it is to have you know, tried and true ally in Survivor, because they're such a known duo, that makes them a target, right? There's a couple of duos in the game, and you know, duos always stand out. And that target is going to be much more on High than it is on Lydia. So Lydia being eliminated actually decreases High's threat level. It shows that he's willing to go. I mean, you know, he's made his big stand for his ally, you know, so that's sort of already kind of like in his resume, but now he shows he's also willing to go along with the group when that's what needs to get done. So I do think ultimately this is a good move for High. You know, you never want to just like throw away those votes because, you know, the people who are going to, you know, truly ride with you to the end are always the ones who, well, you know, are with you in the tough times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a tweener. You could also see, like, you know, 2 weeks from now, we could be saying, oh my God, high loss, Lydia. You know, now that group doesn't have any of the leverage anymore. It's certainly, but like, yeah. That's already a fractured group because they're throwing Chanel under the bus faster than anybody
so
else
fast.
Can throw anybody under the
right,
bus.
Repeatedly. Yeah. I have to say that it just in the first reaction to this, and I think that High has played such a great game this season that I think it was a little hasty to throw Lydia away. And again, we don't know truly if the votes were there, but it seemed like that they could have gotten the votes on Jonathan if they wanted them. It seemed like it was there.
I just don't believe that. Like, I feel like you look at this like cohesive group, you know, voting block, voting together. It's the eight. They're the allies. They're the ones who cohere. And then this kind of like mishmash of other people who, you know, are, you know, Chanel, I mean, Tori, Romeo and Lydia allied, like not really as far as we've seen, you know, it's not like a group that High can necessarily pull together. Maybe if he had more time, but like, it really looked, you know, you've got like a day, everyone's scrambling around. There's 12 people. There's 30, you know, there's 100 plans. And then finally one comes together at the end, like you don't know where everybody stands. And I think to some degree, you kind of like have to get on board that train if you see it, you know, pulling out of the station, lest you get left behind.
So I think that the key cog here, I think, was Mike. And we saw the scene in the episode of Mike bonding with Jonathan. I think that if, you know, High is talking with Mike, and then, you know, when Omer says to High, like, hey, we need to vote out Lydia, and Mike is like, oh, I don't know. What do you think, High? But I think if High and Mike had the conversation and High said, okay, I think the move is to vote out Jonathan, I suspect Mike would not have been on board to do that. Because if you have Mike, you have High, you have Lydia, they talk to Drea. Drea seemed to have no direct connection to Jonathan. That's four already. Then you have also Tori and Romeo already were voting for Jonathan. You could presume that Roxroy, I think, also would get on board. I think you could have gotten there if Mike was on board with voting out Jonathan. I think Mike was not on board for that. And I think that High had to reluctantly vote out Lydia here, as opposed to this was something that he said this was a night where he wanted to establish agency. I think he lost agency in this episode.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. Obviously, this was not his choice. Like, I think this is something that he did, you know, against, you know, because he was in a very difficult position. I mean, I'm sure the first thing we will see next episode is a confessional from High explaining that vote for Lydia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think his back was against the wall here and he kind of had to do it. There were not a ton of other options. I think that the threat of Marianne playing her idol was also, I think, loomed large. We saw that the idols really scared people off in the season 41 version of this. And so, yeah, I think that ultimately Lydia ends up sort of going down because she just did not have any of the other relationships that were strong where Jonathan, you know, made a couple of like really key relationships with High and Mike in this episode.
Yeah, the Mike thing was funny. I mean, Romeo had a very funny confessional about right, like Mike, like trying to like, you know, cuddle next to Jonathan at night to like, you know, be, you know, his like man bro. It really like, it did seem like a lot of the guys had this kind of like instinctive guy crush. I mean, I've got it through the TV, so I can only imagine what it's like out there.
Yeah.
It's hard to say again because of the, you know, the disparity between this cast of Survivor and the typical cast, but he's got to be one of the best athletes the show. Well, he's definitely one of the best athletes the show's ever seen. I don't think you can say the best necessarily.
Well, I think that what's unique about Jonathan is that traditionally the best Survivor athletes are long and lean, where, you know, you're Tyson, Ozzy, Joe, like the people that really do well in the competitions are like a certain, are tall and skinny and very athletic. Whereas that Jonathan, I think, is really unique in that he is like a spectacular athlete who's a big man. There have been players that are big, but not necessarily players that are sort of like super athletic and dominating and challenging. Even like players like Scott Pollard, who, you know, went reasonably far into the game. Like he was not really like dominating the challenges in any, memorable way, where Jonathan.
I mean, James from China is probably the best parallel.
I mentioned, and also like,
and also someone who did terrible in the individual challenges, James from China.
Won individual immunity. Yeah.
Right. So Jonathan probably, he did not do, I mean, he was, I guess he did okay. Right. He came out of the okay, but you know, the Survivor individual immunity challenges right now are like not necessarily tailored for someone's athletic ability. Someone like Joe Anglin, by the way, amazing at them, but that's because he practiced them a lot. So, let's see if Jonathan's father made him and his brother, hold, 15 balls stacked on a platform while,
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see just how well he holds up during the post-merge. I do want to just go back from not so much on Jonathan, but I think a player that I think that has not gotten enough strategic credit this season is Mike, where I, coming into this season, that I think that we might have overlooked Mike, and sort of like it was clear to see in the beginning of the season, okay, Mike, heart of gold, super sweet guy. But Mike, I think, has an incredible social game I don't think we've given enough credit to. And I think that you've seen almost every single person that Mike has encountered in this game. He has seemingly like won over and they have wanted to work with him, from Jenny to when Daniel and Chanel to Hai and Lydia to Drea tonight to Jonathan. Basically, every person that Mike encounters in the game seems to fall in love with him and want to work with him.
I totally agree. It seems like, and he bridges all of these different groups to some degree. That's sort of what you were saying. That said, I got to say, just as a caveat, him giving Chanel grief for voting for him when he voted for her, a little hypocritical.
Sure. I mean, that I'm sure every single survivor, gets their name written down. This was like a confessional, as soon as they got back to camp, I'm sure he was hot about it. So, let's see if it sticks. I mean, we saw Hai, who was, Mike also as well, said, don't trust Chanel. So, the Vadi tribe has no love for Chanel.
It's just so funny.
Owes Roxroy a big debt of gratitude, that Chanel seemed like, was going to be the presumptive boot had Roxroy not broken the hourglass.
Why did Roxroy vote for Lindsay? I cannot figure it out. He was pulled into the eight. That was in case there's a shot in the dark situation.
I suspect that Roxroy was just left out. I don't know. Maybe it was hey, let's just put a vote somewhere. Because maybe they didn't. They just if things were developing as quick as they are, maybe they just didn't tell Roxroy the plan at that late stage.
And last question, not last question, another question. I was surprised, I guess it sounds like it's going to be an observation, not a question. I was surprised that Drea did not pull in Romeo.
Yeah, today. This is, I think, super interesting.
Drea and Romeo
as a pair, yeah,
and not included.
Yes, I was doing the math myself as they were talking about this huge alliance comes together. Again, only 12 people in the game. I'm like, okay, well, all right. So who's not in the alliance? Okay, Tori, Chanel, and I guess Marianne. And then I'm thinking, wait, what about Romeo? Steven, wherefore art thou Romeo? What is going on with Romeo, who I have been so high on all season? I thought this was a bad night for Romeo.
Yeah, it was. Well, I mean, he also, I didn't think it was a terrible night in Romeo. It was funny to see everybody, the people who initially thought they were safe, like making all their big power plays. And then the hourglass is broken. And suddenly the people who thought they were safe are like scrambling and meek. And the people who thought they were in danger are like, now they're coming out to play. And it's their big power play moment. And I didn't think it was unreasonable for Romeo to try to pull that move to take out Jonathan. And it seemed like it was actually going to work for him. I mean, that seems like a pretty reasonable play if you're Romeo, where, you know, bring the small, all these big people are getting together. Like, well, what about, let's bring the small people together, you know? It sounded like, and, you know, look, if you look at that group of eight, it is all of the more athletic people.
Yeah.
And, you know, for Romeo, like, where are those votes going next? You know? So I didn't think it was crazy. I mean, he obviously wasn't successful, but part of that, the reason he wasn't successful is because Drea didn't loop him in, right? He didn't have the leverage. Like, everyone was pulling their friends in and Drea didn't pull him in.
Yeah. So Romeo, I don't think it wasn't a total disaster. Like, he seemed, he was in the group with Lydia, who voted for Marianne, which was not great. But it seems like that he was not at the total bottom tier. I guess who was in the lower tier? Lydia or Tori and Chanel?
Yeah.
Because the two people who were sort of like persona non grata, they were the people that voted for Jonathan. Romeo was not like in that group, but he was also like in the same group as the person who got voted out of the game. So not necessarily great. It was so surprising that Drea did not vouch for Romeo in all of this, because that what we've seen really from Romeo's perspective last week, he talked about how he was helping Drea find the advantage, because that he was coaching her. It was like the one of the women that he would coach in the pageants, and he was helping her become a better player. And when we saw Drea, she's like, oh yeah, I got Roxroy. But Romeo, she didn't mention. And nobody vouched for Romeo. And I thought that then when we saw the conversation, a really great conversation that we saw between High and Romeo about what about how High is, very much more comfortable in his skin about being gay. And Romeo said how, you know, he admired High, and I'll never forget this conversation. I kind of thought that High would say, all right, well, Romeo, you're in the alliance, but still no Romeo in the alliance.
Yeah, yeah. And instead we see him really trying to operate at the margins of the alliance. Mm-hmm. And I really did think, like, not doing such a terrible job. And in fact, he did kind of flip the vote momentarily onto Jonathan, mm-hmm. you know, and then it got flipped back through, you know, the machinations of Omer. But, you know, for a moment, it did look like Jonathan was the target, and it did look like Romeo was driving that. So I didn't think that was a total catastrophe.
No,
the problem is he's left out. So like, where does he go moving forward?
Yeah, it's not over for Romeo, I don't think at this point, but he definitely will have his work cut out for him. The good news is that he does not seem to be somebody that people are really looking at in terms of like what's going on. I mean, he did write down Marianne's name, but I think that there are just right now bigger fish to fry in Tori, in Chanel. And I think that he's somebody now, he could be seen as sort of like too close to Tori potentially.
Maybe. Why? Because I don't know.
He seems to be the only person that's talking to Tori.
I guess so. Mm-hmm. I guess so. I'm sure she's talking to more than one person on the actual beach.
Yeah.
I assume that they're, you know, they all sleep in the same shelter at night, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. I don't know. Do they actually anymore?
We didn't really get to see any of that.
I'm not sure if that's true anymore. Yeah.
We haven't talked too much about the hourglass and its return here tonight. That we know we knew something was coming. Were you surprised, Stephen, that they did not change it up more? Now, we got Jeff told us, hey, three big changes.
Three big changes.
First time we see Jeff Probst talk to the camera here in Survivor 42, he tells us, hey, remember last time? Well, okay, we wanted to see it a little bit differently. Number one, Applebee's is here.
Number one variable.
Number one. Okay. So one of these tribes is going to be eating good in the neighborhood. Okay. Applebee's is here. Two, there is going to be an option where then the person who is going to get pulled in After they send somebody away and they're going to tell somebody that they're going to have a chance to get an advantage. They did not say that about Erica last season. That was sort of presumed you could get something. But then there would be an opportunity to switch so that you can't say that this time around, hey, none of us knew there was going to be a thing. Any of them could have jumped off the mat and taken the advantage.
Right. And when they sent Erica to exile, right, I mean, you have every reason to think like there's going to be a clue or an idle clue or like an extra vote. But the way Jeff phrased it really emphasized that it was, you know, this was like a game changing power, right? That's what he said, or something, mm-hmm. the power to change the game. So it was unambiguously a big deal. And I do think that really matters. And the fact, too, that they had the option to switch. It seemed like Jeff, you know, reiterated that option more than once. So it really did seem like, as much as I don't like the idea of you win something, you can have that taken from you. The fact is that Jeff gave a lot of context to the extent that the players were even sort of expecting it. You know, that was where Dre's the one who said it, but that's where their minds went. That seemed to almost be an understood possibility. And so I think that,
Somewhere in the neighborhood of a 20-25% improvement on the original.
Oh, I thought more. I felt like a 30-40%. Okay. I truly loathed the original. I set mm-hmm. it on fire, you know, loathe the original twist, but I still 30% better is still in like strong dislike category, but
Yeah. I don't know how much necessarily it is going to impact the game where there were players, as Danny famously would say, you know, this is not a twist, this is a lie, that his game really got screwed up there. Sydney was like a key piece for Danny in season 41. I do wonder, you know, how this cast is going to react now. Perhaps like High is like, if you talk to High would say like, this totally screwed me up. Lydia, I wouldn't have lost Lydia had this ultimately went down this way. Although he could have potentially been up for elimination. So I don't know if anybody's going to be as salty in season 42. We saw Tori certainly upset. Tori seemed more upset with Roxroy than with the actual twist itself.
That was so ridiculous.
No good deed goes unpunished around here because we sent Roxroy to get a power. Didn't know he's going to turn around and use it on me.
We have to. I gotta ask you this question. Did you think there was a realistic chance that Roxroy was not going to smash the glass?
I thought if there was a chance that anyone wouldn't do it, your best bet was going to be Roxroy, who is, a classically like old school player here in Survivor 2, down to horribly misspelling a name in the voting booth. Like Roxroy is a character, out of like the Survivor single digit seasons. I thought that if anybody would potentially not break the hourglass, Roxroy was the only person, but Roxroy makes the right decision. Now, Steven, I did have one galaxy brain thought. Okay. Mm. All right. It's six person tribe. Now, Roxroy knows, okay, I've got Drea. I've got Romeo. I've got my allies. Drea has an extra vote. Would it be insane for Roxroy to say, you know what? Let's stay the course. Let's take out somebody that is a target for us here at this first tribal council.
But his target is Tori, who's
well. Okay, well, you'd have to pick out another target. Is there somebody else we could go for?
But it's not a six person. Because it's not just the six of them voting. If that were the case, it might be different.
True. Very true. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if that's the galaxy brain. That's molecule brain.
I'm trying to think. Is there any reason Roxroy should have stayed the course?
No, there's no reason. I do wonder, though, if Drea and Romeo had been on the other tribe, and then it was his immunity versus putting his allies at risk, if maybe that would have been a different outcome for him, in terms of, willing. But no, I think any sensible person is going to take their own immunity. Right. And right. That, I mean, I honestly, like, if they did it again, I wonder if that might be... I don't want to say I countenance anyone doing it again, but I wonder if that might be an interesting twist where the person is either immune or not immune, but the hourglass doesn't affect the person's immunity. You know, it just affects which other people are going to be up for elimination, because then there's a little bit more of a calculus, like which group do I want to be with?
Yeah.
Because it's like if you're going from not immune to immune, obviously you're going to take that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. First thing, never do it again. Second thing, yeah, I guess that would help it a little bit. Just thinking back to Erica in season 41, that, you know, Erica was in a situation where she made herself immune, although like many of her tribe members ended up then being vulnerable. So it sort of was, I mean, Heather, her closest ally, ended up being safe, but it did put Nasir, Danny, Deshaun, and Sydney, I think, all on the chopping block at that tribal council, did not stop her from ultimately doing that. So I don't know if it's necessarily even allies being vulnerable is like a real consideration there.
But that was, but that was pretty different, because they like sent her as their like non-ally, right? They were like, they were tribe members, but they were like not really allies with her. Mm-hmm. I guess Heather, but the rest of them were not allied, like particularly close with her. And then, she was supposedly the next one to go. Mm-hmm. This is, I think Drea, and Roxroy and Romeo had more of a real alliance.
Any other, relationships that you have an eye on after this episode tonight?
Oh, that's fun. That's fun. I mean, we certainly like the Mike and Jonathan one was very fun. Yeah, I don't know. We saw Marianne talking with a bunch of people. Marianne, Drea, completely unnecessary argument at tribal council.
Yeah, that was interesting. Do you think is there something there?
Well, like some kind of antagonism from Drea to Marianne.
Yeah, I mean, I had thought coming into this merge, I thought that was another relationship that I was kind of like watching out for, of that Marianne and Drea that have a couple of commonalities in that they both they went to Shipwheel Island together. OK, so they both have the extra vote and had that shared experience. Plus, they also were from the we saw how Drea bonded with Mike. We didn't really see Drea and Marianne really bond over both, having the idol phrases.
Right. Yeah, it was interesting. And the amulet people, too. Like that was a very interesting scene where I think best case scenario, right, where they're like, this is something that brings us together. We're all a little bit wary of each other, but we have this interesting relationship. The advantages, I think, are working very well this season, in that they are creating, this tense relationship where people have a connection, but it might be a slightly adversarial connection.
Yeah. I really was surprised that Lindsay wasn't a bigger target that people were looking at. And again, I guess that 8 must have been more important to people, because I had really thought that, especially if, you had two of the people working together, where you had, Hi and Drea certainly talking, the idea of like, okay, well, if people like Jonathan, could you take out Lindsay in this spot, who is vulnerable? You would turn that extra vote into at least steal a vote. It would be something, but no, she was not somebody who was really anybody was gunning for.
That is a great question.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky?
In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Steven, we have questions from the listeners of Rob is a Podcast.
Oh, those are great. I'm glad it's from those listeners.
Yes. Okay. Not the listeners from any other podcasts. Let's dive in. Nick from BA said, couldn't High at least tell Lydia to play her shot in the dark, giving her some chance to survive this tribal?
That's an interesting idea, Nick from BA. And I wonder if he was worried that if he tipped her off, then it blows up in his face. Like, you know, Lydia runs around, oh my gosh, like it's me. And then suddenly High loses his credibility with the Alliance. And, you know, Lydia still goes home or he goes home, right? It's all, especially at the very, like right before Tribal Council, things move real quick, you know, and you don't want to be, you know, the wheel is spinning and you don't want to be, you know, there where it stops. So I think to some degree, I mean, it's an interesting idea, like at Tribal Council or something, but I think the risk maybe outweighs the reward. I think at the point that he says, I'm going to choose the eight over
it's such a half measure.
Ally,
Yeah. You can't
and
do
it's
that.
Like, it's unlikely that it works and it just creates chaos.
Yeah.
If the odds were different.
And also, you know, either you want Lydia to go out or you don't. And so, right. You know, if you're writing her name down, you want her to go out. You don't know how Lydia is necessarily going to react at Tribal Council and could sort of like end up spilling the beans that you told her the whole thing. You've never voted.
Right.
You talk about this all the time that, you know, until you vote with people, you don't really know what you're working with. So, you know, this was a very important vote. And so I didn't think that High wanted to potentially screw that up.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. All right, Steven. Here's a question from Terry. What does Terry have to say?
All right. Terry wants to know, what were Drea and Marianne debating about at Tribal Council? Did they actually agree or disagree? Can you break this down? What were they saying, Rob?
Such a good question. I think I need to watch that part of the episode again, but I have so many pages of notes from this episode. So Jeff asked the question, Marianne, what is the theme of the vote? I think that Marianne's answer was something along the lines of are the people here that I can trust or people that I cannot trust? So
Marianne said like it's like the people you think you can trust in the moment versus people, you know, the vote is about maybe long term relationships. I think what the difference was, like Marianne was saying, this is about like a long term, like creating those long term bonds. Mm-hmm. And Dre was like, no, I don't think that's true, which is a crazy thing to say if I'm reading that correctly at Tribal Council. Like to say to everyone you're voting with, like, no, we don't have long term relationships.
It was wild for, you know, Dre to argue that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Marianne was like super agreeable. Like, I guess we're basically saying the same thing. No, we're not. Like, okay.
I got the vibe that like Drea is very annoyed by Marianne and like is like, you know, those people who just you're like very annoyed by and like you can't even like talk to them.
No,
I don't have anyone like that in my life, but I've heard that that's true for others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
That's interesting. You know, I mean, and Drea is a serious person. She runs a business. Maybe, you know, she doesn't like, the constant chatter from Marianne.
Yeah, I think that's possible.
It's interesting. Okay. All right. Let's take a question from Allison, who says, what are the mechanics of getting Applebee's to Fiji? Do they actually send the food? Do they share the secret recipes?
I'm sure they'd hope they're not shipping the food. Mm-hmm. It arrives a week later. I mean, I guess, maybe a day later.
Mm-hmm.
Still, I'm hoping they cook it out there.
Yeah, I have to think that
according to the recipes.
I think there's probably some of the, I bet it is frozen and sent there.
Just giving them the secret recipes with like the ingredients. You think it's like a frozen patty, like straight from the Applebee's?
Yeah, if I had to guess, I think, and maybe somebody who like works in like a chain restaurant knows this. I think that probably a bunch of the stuff like comes in for, I don't know if this is a great Applebee's commercial, but I think it's sort of like, sent and then with instructions on how to prepare.
I believe it. Okay. I'll go with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All
is that right. What they do with the pizzas too? The survivor, the famous Ferrero
pizza. No, Stu makes the pizza on site. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. Steven, what does the great John have to say?
John wants to know, how many eggs does Fishback eat daily? Danny Bryson eats only half a dozen eggs a day. Eat like 7 eggs a day, mostly just egg whites, 7 to 9 egg whites a day when I was bulking up. Now I eat 4 eggs a day.
Yeah. Steven.
That's half of what Jonathan eats.
Half of per meal.
Per meal.
He said my average meal is 18 eggs, 9 pieces of cheese, and grits.
So bad for cholesterol.
Yeah, what's his cholesterol? Yeah. Oh my god. Oh my god, Jonathan. Please be careful out there. I mean,
yeah.
18 eggs. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, but maybe he's got the chickens.
Oh, maybe. Perhaps he gets them himself. Maybe it's got a good deal on the eggs. I mean, that's an incredible amount of eggs. It's a dozen
and a lot. That can't be like per meal. It must be like per day. There's no way it's per meal.
He said meal.
I know, but sometimes people misspeak.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Here we go. Steven, Anonymous has a question.
Anonymous wants to know, by the way, vis-a-vis Jonathan eating, I actually don't think it was that crazy for him to do that instead of going to the, because I do think that there is a real strategic gain to eating when you're deprived, because not only it gives you energy for the challenges, it gives you energy to like run around camp strategizing. It makes your brain work better, you know, especially at the merge. There's a lot of numbers being run constantly. And if you're depleted and your brain is fried and you're exhausted, sometimes like a big food reward can completely charge you and like give you like a renewed zest and renewed perspective. So obviously the correct choice would have been for someone to go to the island, I guess. But like, I think for someone like Jonathan, who's like so extremely calorie, and the reason that big guys haven't done so well in the past on the show is often because of their, go into like hypertrophy.
Okay, fine. But so
hypotrophy.
I'm not sure.
Atrophy.
Okay. So, all right. But I think this is interesting to explore because you had in that winning group. Okay. So it was what? It was basically like the whole Taku group, correct? Mm-hmm. I think Omer wasn't there, right? Omer was in the other group, correct? Omer was in the blue
group. Yes, because Omer, yeah.
But with Marianne, with Lindsay, with Jonathan, I mean, does one of them need to step aside and go get the game-changing power? I mean, half your tribe is on this reward. I mean, should somebody be ready to, take a bullet for the team and go get the game-changing power?
Yeah, it's a big bullet, though. I mean, but yes, the answer is yes.
Yeah, I mean,
They all think they're safe.
They'll think they're safe, but also, I mean, game-changing power.
Right. And that's your close little, you know, close knit group. Yeah. One person probably should.
I mean, I think Lindsay probably should have been the person to do it of that. They pick her, and you know, she has the chance
at that point. Is she in the, does she have the right?
I believe so. I mean, she's part of the group, right? They picked Lindsay, and now that, and then at that point, and I'll rewatch this and make sure. But then, okay, does anybody want to switch? She said, no, I insist. Roxroy, you go to the thing. You know, I'll take the L here. I'll go to the island.
Yeah. The thing is that they also think that they would be opting for elimination that episode, right? And then you think too, like, oh, well, I'm getting this power. I don't know what the power is, and maybe it puts a target on me. So not only are they giving up food, they're also giving up immunity because they don't know that the power is revoking their immunity. Like, why would they know that? It's never happened before, as far as they know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, it is a tough one. It's a tweener.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take one from Ryan.
We got to go back to Anonymous.
Did we get
Anonymous off the screen.
Okay. Can we go back one question? Okay.
Anonymous wants to know, when Jeff said the winning six could switch to Roxroy's position. That's amazing. By coincidence, we actually had that conversation. When Jeff said the winning six could switch to Roxroy's position, do you think one of the six should have taken that spot?
Yes.
Lindsay. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. Ryan wants to know.
How about this? Should Tori, Tori, who is, you know, the person who is like, you know, waiting to flip. I guess that if you're Tori, it's like, no, this is my opportunity to like spill the tea on all these people as opposed to going and getting the game changing power.
Yeah. She thought she was safe. She thought she, you know, was going to get the big feast, and she got to, you know, schmooze with other tribes.
Yeah. Although I felt like that, you know, this is this person in this spot. Do you think that this is the right call? I know it did not come off great in the episode, but if you are sort of on the bottom, like I think, should you be coming in and like trashing your tribe?
No, it was terrible.
Yeah,
no.
Right?
Yeah. I think you want to show that you're, you know, open to play, it's not a good look.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to do that kind of thing more one-on-one, so people feel like it's a confidence, not, you know, in a big group setting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the idea is that you want to sort of like make yourself available so that the people there are thinking like, oh, we should pick this person up, as opposed to just like go scorched earth on the people that were on your tribe. And then I think it sort of like has a little bit of like a different feel.
Yeah, because, you know, if it's so hostile, why on earth would she did preface it by saying, you know, normally I get along with everyone. So that was on the table, too.
OK. Yeah. All right. Here's a question from Ryan. Why not take the opportunity to vote out such a physical player like Jonathan? A bad move. All right, Steven. So I know how you would probably look at this. Was this a mistake to not vote out Jonathan?
No, I don't think so. I think Jonathan is going to absorb so much of people's attention that he's always going to be, you know, especially if you're someone who thinks that they're a bigger player, you want Jonathan around just to absorb a lot of all that focus.
That being said, though, I thought this was overall a pretty good night for Jonathan, where he survived the scare, and we see many players looking at Jonathan as their shield. You know, we've already heard in the pre-merge, Omer, Lindsay, Marianne, all looking at Jonathan as a shield. But now Mike is saying, okay, this is my shield. Hi feels like this is my shield. All right, well, that's already like half the people that are at the merch. Exactly. So you could start to squint and see a scenario where Jonathan's going to end up going pretty far in this game.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely conceivable, which would be, I mean, the thing is, you don't want him to get to the point where the challenges become actually physical again, right? Mm-hmm. Like right before the end, there's some actual physical challenges, and that seems like it's pretty dangerous.
Yeah. But I mean, we're at the final 11, you know, if he can get like three more votes into this thing, you start to get to the point where, okay, well, He's just a couple of challenge wins away from making fire.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't forget about him. Like, and I think if we were going to like sort of like do like power rankings, which would be arbitrary and reductive of who is most likely to win. Like, is Jonathan in or out of the top five? If you most likely winners at this point.
Wow. I really like Drea, Omer,
Mike, I think certainly.
Mike, Romeo.
Mm-hmm. But I think he's right around that, like, you know, yeah. 5-6.
Yeah, I think that's probably where I would put him, is right there. Like, right there. Like, right below Romeo, maybe, in terms of who I think is going to win.
And if you were doing a draft at the start of the season, right, I don't think he would have been 5-6.
No.
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's interesting. Let's talk about this great repeated scene where
yes,
the eight, you know, or the five, some big group of the eight is chatting, and Chanel walks over, and they all say, "Okay, be cool, like pretend like we're just chatting, you know. No, everyone, hey, stay here."
Everybody's and very Chanel bad comes. At this. Yeah,
they're all so bad. They look around awkwardly, and they dissipate. And the next time,
right?
Okay, we can't screw that up again. We got to make, you know, let's all, everyone stay. We can't just go off in our separate directions. We got to make Chanel feel at home. Chanel walks over. Well, I'm going spear fishing. I'll see you guys later.
I got a thing. I have a thing. Is it that time? Okay. All right. We'll see you later. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Not
poor Chanel.
Poor Chanel. She wasn't making it easy on them though either. She would walk over to that group and just like kind of, I mean, at least from what we saw, like we see her just like,
yeah,
not even really like, you know, saying hi.
Were you surprised Chanel didn't tell Omer that she risked her vote and that Omer would not have a vote at this drama council?
Well, yeah, I thought that was very strange.
Yeah,
that was a very strange choice because no matter what, he's going to find out.
Yes. I had thought coming into this merge, I thought like, wouldn't it be a good idea for Chanel to go to Omer and say, hey, okay, good news, bad news. The bad news is I've risked the vote. All right. So I lost your vote. I'm your vote. Okay. I have my vote back. Tell me what name to write down. I am your vote. And because that she didn't say anything. And he's like, she's sketchy. I don't want to work with her.
That's a great move.
Yeah. Something. Okay. All right. Nick Fishman has a question. What does Nick Fishman have to say from one Fishman
Nick
to another?
The juxtaposition of rocks for all, he's the whole fish man. I'm just the fish back. So this is a real hierarchy here. The juxtaposition of Roxroy using his power to give safety to his key tribe mates and Omer having no power, but moving to save his allies. How crazy is that?
Yeah. Would you say, is that quite a juxtaposition?
I mean, it sounds like they're both helping out their tribe mates.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I think it's a little bit of a stretch, but I like where you're going, Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we're going to give Roxroy the fishy, but he had a great episode.
Great episode for Roxroy. Super fun. That scene with him. I mean, the whole sequence of him on, are we calling it Exile?
It was Exile Island. Yeah.
It is Exile. Okay. Was great. Except for the part where he like talked about how great it was to be away from his nagging wife. I mean, what on earth was he thinking? It's a TV show. It was a really moving, apart from that, it was a really moving. I mean, you do kind of get used to the cameras, but like that was like in an interview, right? I don't know, that maybe that was just off the camera. Either way, you know, some things best left. You know, we don't know what they're related. Maybe they joke about it.
I'm sure. Yeah, I think that Mike Bloom had shared a clip from his interview. I think that maybe Mrs. Roxroy, you know, is laughing. Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, we hope so for
him. It was a beautiful segment. He made a shelter. That was
incredible.
Unbelievable. Like with using vines to tie it, and there was a base, and there, you know, for a night.
I know. I think it was two nights. My favorite part was when Jeff came and he's like, Jeff, I may have to stop you and go check on the rice at some point. How great would that have been? And like, Jeff, you know, hold on a second. Let me go stir the rice.
Jeff's timing was not good. They could have waited a few minutes for his rice to be cooked.
It was very rude to show up during dinner. Yeah.
There were some very funny editing moments. That was another one where like you eat, literally as he says, I hope nothing happens to like bring the game in because I got to cook my rice. And then, you know, cut to Jeff's yacht coming around the bend.
Yeah. Like a
no more speedboat right. for Jeff, by the way.
Yes. That it was, you like the speedboat?
I mean, it was a nicer, but it was a very nice boat.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Isaiah wants to know, what do you think about everyone from the original Blue Tribe voting for a different person?
Yeah. Definitely is some, did they all? That's very interesting. I guess they did. Yeah. Roxroy.
We got a Lindsay,
voted for a different person.
Lindsay, Jonathan, Lydia, and Marianne votes from all over the place.
Yeah. It's interesting. Not a cohesive. The Roxroy vote was mystifying, but it is an interesting point because that did not look like such a divided tribe. Like we all knew Tori was going to flip, but you know, the other trio did not look so.
Yeah. They're all over the place. And we really, it was got a story that Romeo was really, you know, very close with Drea. So, something is not quite adding up there, and we'll see where it goes next. I know we still have a whole week to still process this. Who do you think is going out next week?
God, I mean, who knows, right? I mean, with these big groups, like they fall apart at the drop of a hat, right? Mm-hmm. So easily, you can't be, you know, you could say, oh, it's definitely going to be Tori, you know, she's or Chanel. If you had to give it to someone, maybe you'd say, I think Tori, or I mean, there's like, I don't know, maybe like, high because he lost Lydia gets to vote out Chanel next. If I had to choose someone, right. I would say Chanel, but
I would say Chanel
just fracture so quick.
Yeah. Because I think that's sort of like, okay, well, High and Mike got rid of Lydia. So you would think that there'd be some sort of like quid pro quo in that. Okay, yeah. Look, we got rid of one of our people. Now we have to get rid of one of your people. But the person that High actually wants to get rid of is one of their people. Like that's like the easiest vote in the world for everybody else to vote out Chanel. And maybe like Roxroy's fighting. No, we have to vote out Tori. Tori, I'm telling you, is the vote. But I would have to think that if I had to make a pick right now, I think Chanel is probably the person.
Yeah, I agree with that. But again, you know, these big groups break up so quickly. It really is hard to say. But the interesting, as you've said, like this is an interesting group because it is, you know, it's they all seem to get along. It doesn't seem, you know, they're all, you know, the sort of the top dogs from their respective tribes.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm into it.
And could those bottom players that we're keeping an eye on in the Tori, Romeo, Chanel, there are 11 players in the game now. Could they pick up a couple of pieces and then potentially flip the thing? But
who are the pieces? Everybody is so interlinked. Like, what are the weak links of that eight? You know, I mean, it's not going to be Rock. I mean, as Rockstar, it seems like the weakest link, but he's not going to be the one flipping. Mm-hmm. So where is the weak link? You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Marianne, I guess, right? Like that's probably where you'd go. And certainly we saw people talking to her.
I think they would need Marianne for that.
Yeah, Tori was talking to Marianne. Romeo was talking to Marianne. I mean, that would be, you know, Marianne's got extra vote and an idol. So, I mean, that's if something messy did happen, it really could happen there.
Okay. All right. We will see what happens next time out. Of course, we will have a great podcast for you on Thursday when Christian Hubicki joins me on Rob is a Podcast to break down everything that happened here at the Survivor Merge. We have a list of things that Christian may break down on the whiteboard. You're not going to want to miss it. Make sure you subscribe to robhaswebsite.com/subscribe for that and all of our great podcasts this week, which include... We've got our exit interview coming up tomorrow. I told you about Christian. We also will have Tiffany Seely on the Survivor Feedback Show. Not to mention, we will have Gia Worthy on the Survivor Academy, the patron-only show where we talk about things that you could learn every single week from the Survivor episode. And then in our Survivor podcast feed, a bunch of great shows coming your way, including Mary Holland on the B&B, Lisa Holmes on Survivor Global, Chappelle's going to be on the Survivor Stock Watch, the Why Blank Loss, and of course, Bryson Wendell every week on the Survivor News Edition of the Purple Pants Podcast, all in our Survivor Podcast feed at robinswebsite.com/Survivor Feed. And then, Stephen, your friend and mine, Rick Devins, joined us on News AF this week.
Oh, wow. Wow. With Tyson, huh?
Danny, and
Rick all together.
Me and Danny and Rick Devins. Some people think that maybe Tyson has given up podcasting to go all in on pickleball.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, podcasting's gain is pickleball's gain.
Yeah, so check out Rick Devins, the Survivor's preeminent newsman on News AF this past week. Stephen, have you caught any of The Ultimatum on Netflix?
No, I don't. Hey, oh, this just hit on Twitter.
Yes.
Joseph Rudansky suggests, could the reason be why Roxroy voted for Lindsay is because he messed up the names with Lydia and Lindsay. Is that possible? Do you think that's because he wrote L-Y-N-Z-E, right? Lindsay? Is that possible?
I guess that is possible.
You don't think likely?
I think it's unlikely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not particularly likely, I guess. But if anyone is going to mess up a name, it's an old school player like Roxroy, you know? Like, that's what, yeah. But that would be a pretty big mess up. And I don't think he's that...
Yeah. Like, I know Roxroy is later days. He's not 83. Yeah.
He's just come back from this exhausting experience in exile. He hasn't had very much food. Like, maybe he's tired. The tribal council's late.
I don't know. I mean, he seemed pretty, cool and collected when the Beatle landed on him. Maybe he was freaking out on the inside when the Beatle landed on him, and then that really discombobulated him.
He played that so cool. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I mean, even knowing it's a Beatle, you know, I don't think I could just let this lie. You don't know where that Beatle's been.
Right, right. Okay. All right. Ultimatum. Stephen. Yeah. Couples are, you know, getting close to getting married, and one person is like, are we doing this or not? And then if you were not getting married, let's switch. Let's swap it up. Let's switch partners. Brand new show on Netflix. Check out Asia Welch and Mary Krakowski in the Love at First Sight feed for a breakdown of all 8 episodes from this week on Netflix. And be sure to, I believe the finale and reunion show will have podcast coverage as well in our Ultimatum podcast feed at Love at First Sight. Go to robinswebsite.com/First Sight Feed for that. Okay. And then, of course, check out everything we have going on over at robinswebsite.com/patron. Of course, that you can make it very easy to watch Big Brother Canada, the weekly Survivor Academy show, and then all of the great content in our patron community on Facebook and Discord, not to mention a very lively edition of the Patron 5 for 5 with the First Lady of Podcasting from this past week. That's all at robinswebsite.com/patron, where all of the people in the reality TV community that love these shows get together from all around the world at robinswebsite.com/patron. Of course, make sure you subscribe to everything we're doing over at robinswebsite.com/subscribe. Stephen, what's coming up for you this week?
Well, we're getting some painting done in our house. I think I probably may have already mentioned that. Mm-hmm. Easter. Easter's going to be fun. We're going to do an Easter egg hunt for the baby.
Oh.
Passover, too. We're going to have a Seder. I'm sure you guys are having a Seder. Seder, I don't know if the baby's going to get as big a kick out of the Seder as she will the Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
You know, there's the matzah hunt.
I've actually never been to a Seder. I would like to go to one.
Oh, well, are you inviting yourself?
I mean, it'd be a little bit of a schlep to get up to see you, but
first you invite yourself, and then when I kind of, you know, go along, you reject it.
That's whiplash. Well, if you gave me like a ample warning, I could,
it's North Carolina, farther than, you know, 4 days away.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of have some work to do.
Yeah. We have a TV here. We have a computer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Nicole, pack my suitcase. Okay.
Hey, I have another possible speculation about this episode. So Drea made a big show about, like, this is just one vote, right? This is not or mm-hmm. like this is not necessarily a long-term strategy. Maybe she's signaling because nobody in her group is voting together. You know, Romeo's off doing his thing. Roxroy's doing his thing. As someone just noticed, the blue tribe is all voting separately. So maybe Drea was signaling to her people like, hey, this is the vote for right now, but I haven't, you know, we haven't lost our group forever.
Yeah, perhaps. I think it's a little bit of the fan fiction. Yeah.
But, yeah. That might be a fan fiction-y. I'm just saying, you know, if you see a couple of things that don't add up.
Just think it's Occam's razor. I think like that maybe Marianne might have been, you know, getting on Drea's nerves a little bit.
Yeah, no, right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Steven, anything else tonight?
Just going to bed. What about you?
Yep. I'm going to wrap up the podcast and then I'm too amped up. I'll probably be up for another couple of hours after this.
It takes me some time to come down after we do this.
I don't just like end the podcast and close my eyes and go to sleep.
What do you do?
I don't know. Is it a pace? I don't know. Watch TikToks. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing too exciting. All right.
There are no screens, Rob. Not if you're trying to wind down. Screens are no good.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I should read a book. I'll
stick with the pacing.
When I stop at your house, I'll grab one out of the library. All right. All right. Thank you all so much for staying up late with us here tonight. Be sure to check out all of the great podcasts. And, of course, as we always say, the rain beating down on a tin roof reminds me of watching a turtle cross the road. Good night, everybody. Bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.